Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're starting a new series today called Re. That's right, it's called Re. The reason why it's called Re is because we're talking about going back or going back to the initial or intent of something. We're going to be all over the Bible, but we're going to be looking at primarily the first two chapters and the last two chapters of the Bible, just kind of chopping it up a little bit here. But the title of my message today is Recreate. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. And just in reverence for the reading of God's Word, can I invite you to stand to your feet? And we'll read this together. Let's all read together. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Father, I thank you that when you created all of the heavens and the earth and everything that exists on this planet, you said it was good. And then you created us, and in giving your instruction, which we now know as your apostolic mandate, you described us as very good. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, that we are made in your image, your imago Dei. And as we are created in your image, Lord, I pray for the revelation of what that looks like and how we are to walk this life out in the original intent that you have for us. So, God, awaken our spirits on this cloudy Sunday morning. Help us to receive your word. I want to move out of the way. We want to hear directly from you today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen? Amen. Okay, say hi to three people before you take a seat. So as I said, the title of the message today is Recreate. Recreate. And I'm going to break down the verses that we just read and allow them to reacquaint us with our original intent, because as God creates man, this is the very first thing that he gives as an instruction to man, the very first command that's ever given to man. So these are the very first words that we read in Scripture. But before I go there, I wanted to just kind of highlight this whole thing of image, being made in God's image. What does that even mean? Let's break this down a little bit. First, we can see the words here. It says here, let us make. Let us make. How many of you see that in your Bibles? If you've got that there on, in Genesis 1, it says, let us make. So notice there's a plurality, right? There's this is the first mention of the three persons in one, in God. God being the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so he is in the business of making. Now I need you to understand this. If he is making us in his image, he has also created us for community. He has created us to walk together. There is a unity found within the Trinity that the closest things that we have to it is within the realm of marriage, Christian marriage. And so where a husband and wife become one. And so when you see that pattern, you see how God has designed for the community of Christ to walk together in a unity, a deep-seated unity that only God can bring. Now, just take a quick look around this room. Go ahead. Look at how beautiful the people of this church are. God looked at what he created and he said it was very good. It was very good. How many of you are single here? Keep your hands up. Look around. Keep looking around. I'm trying to help you out. That's God looked there and said it was very good. All right? Okay, put your hand down now. That's stalkerish now. It's too long. So when he talks about let us make, you've got to understand that God creates us for community. God creates us for unity within community. And it's within the unity of that community that we are refined. We are refined. The process is called, the theological term for that is sanctification, that God makes us more like him when we walk together. But how many of you know that there is always a wrestling to isolate? There's always a wrestling to kind of pull away from church, so to speak. And by church, I don't mean Sunday activity. By church, I mean the community of which he brings us into. It's so easy to isolate. And that's one of the tactics of the enemy. So just know that from the start, God has created you to walk together with other people. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you. I thought I was the one with the jet lag. I'm just saying. So that's what we're talking. We talked about us, okay? It's an us thing. God has created us to walk together. If we're made in his image, we're to reflect the usness of the Trinity. Three in one. We walk together in that unity. So we ask God for the ability to and the grace to walk together. Because how many of you know that there's all sorts of opportunities for offense when you walk together, especially the deeper you know one another. You start to see flaws in different people. You know, your best friend, you know, is your best friend, but then you get the test of the best friend. How many of you have been through that? Some of you are looking down now. You're not looking at me. Like, it's all good when you're, you know, like from a distance, but then, oh yeah, BFF. And then you start walking closer to one another and you start to see, man, they like country music. I can't stand country music. Why are you listening to that? See, I'm already starting to offend people. People are wanting to, see, that's what God does. God uses country music to divide the, no, I'm just kidding. Maybe techno, I don't know. But there's all sorts of wedges that come in when or opportunities for offense to break up the usness of the community that God wants to bring us in. And that's what he wants us to fight for. We've got to fight for this unity. Now, when I got you to look around, what you'll notice is a couple of things. You'll notice that within this church, there are many different nations represented. In this church, I think the body of Christ should reflect what heaven looks like. And if you look around, you got young people here, you got our kids' church, you got the young people of the youth, and then you got people like me, you know, just mature, like a. See, I just try to dress young and act young, but I just turned 43. It's still not too late to buy presents, just in case you're wondering. But that's the way that God brings community together. You know, he brings us from every generation. He brings us from different nations. And that's what heaven's going to look like. If you don't like that, you're not going to like heaven much. Oh, it's quiet again. Goodness me. All right. And then the next part about it is that he makes. Let us make. He creates. And so when God has created us in his image, he has also created us with the instinct to create, because that's the nature of how he reveals himself right from the get-go. The first revelation that we have of God's nature is as the creator. And if that's a part of his image, he has also called us to create. Now, I'm going to break that down a little bit as we get further. And what I love about it is that passage goes on to say, and so he created man. He didn't just talk. He didn't just say, hey, it would be a good idea if we create man in our image. He did it. How many of you know God is a God who keeps his promises? God is not all talk. A great theologian, Inspector Deck from Wu-Tang Clan, once said, don't talk the talk if you can't walk the walk. Phony brothers are outlined in chalk. You never thought you'd hear a Wu-Tang Clan quote. That's the jet lag and that's all that happening. But what people are looking for in this generation, and they're looking for a God who keeps his word. And they're looking for how that's reflected in the way we as the church keep our word. Keep our promises. You know, the Bible goes on in the New Testament to talk about separating the wheat from the chaff. The wheat, what they would do is they would get them get the wheat and the chaff in a big sieve, and they'd toss it up in the air, and the wind would blow away the chaff because the chaff was a lot lighter. And then the wheat would just come back down because it weighed a lot more. What Jesus was saying is that he's looking for the weight of the church's character to come back down into the net. And not be like the chaff that just blows away with the wind. Like the feather at the beginning of Forrest Gump. How many of us, when we say we're going to do something, we don't keep our word? How many of us are that sort of person? Like, we say, we'll be there. Oh, I'll be there. And some of us, you know, like, and some of you heard me say this before, we become like a sort of Christian that feels the need to repeat it three times that we're going to be there. We say, yeah. I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be there. Because we have to emphasize it more than once because we've been more flaky than dandruff in the past when we've given our word on something. And that's not the character of God. Like, when you say a promise, how do people respond to your word? Do in the back of their minds, do they hear the theme song of Forrest Gump going off when they usually, yeah, I'll be there. Is that the way people look at you or feel? Because I'm here to tell you, especially if you're a follower of Christ in here, that is a poor reflection of the image of God. Because God says, let us make man in our image, and then he makes man in his image. He's a God who keeps his promise. And he creates the male and female. Now this begins this whole journey in looking at the diversity of how God creates us, male and female. There are aspects of us as males and for the females that reflect the image of God. And then again, you've got to understand that that's the beginning of the view of diversity. And we're going to break that down even more because we begin to understand that within every nation across this globe, within every ethnicity across this globe, is a reflection of the character of God. When we begin to subjugate or even segregate ourselves, whether it's sexism or racism, and separate ourselves, we begin to have a very limited or tainted picture. In fact, that's a very demonic picture of what the image of God should look like. It should look like every nation and tongue coming together. It should look like male and female being empowered in the destiny of God that God has for us. That's what the kingdom of God should look like. So when he created us male and female, we reflect God in his image. And then this next one is for all you married people in here. Be fruitful and multiply. I can give you a Spotify playlist if you need help with that, but I'm here to tell you today. We've got single people here, so I don't want to just stir you all up, you know, unnecessarily. Or like Song of Solomon says, you know, awaken love before it's time. So let's just say the activity is called the code word badger. Like when you badger, the whole purpose behind badgering is not just pleasure, it's procreation. God wants it. Because we live in a society that thinks that children are a burden. Children are the whole point. The intention. God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. And he goes on to talk about filling the earth and subduing it. He wants his glory to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And that's reflected in how we make disciples both spiritually and badgeringly. You're with me though. You're with me though. And then if we go carry on into Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, if you've got your Bible. But it goes on to talk about how he took the man and put him to work. So not only was man created, but there was an intent to take man and put him to work. Now I need you to understand this because there is some bad theology going around the body of Christ that work is a result of the fall. No, toil is a result of the fall. Work happened before the fall. In fact, that was God's intent, was to work. And like he gave him a job. And many of you have heard this for the brothers in here. You've heard me say it before. God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife, right? He was the first zoologist. He started naming animals. And then he found out none of the animals were quite, you know, like the companion that he wanted. So Lassie wasn't like quite the buddy that he wanted. So hanging out with Baba the elephant, he was like, nah, I'm not really feeling it. And so God creates woman, and the rest is history, right? That's important for us to understand, is that God always wanted us to work. Some Christians, you know, well, you know what, Pastor Nelly, that's my critique voice. You know what, Pastor Nelly, I don't think we should work because that's not the original intent that God had for us, you know. No, he wants you to work, okay? That's not God, that's Centrelink. You need to get up and get you a job, walk in the destiny of God for your life. Okay, that's how you're going to fill the earth and subdue it, all right? Get a job, then you get a wife, and you fill the earth and subdue it, all right? So understand that, okay? He took the man and he put him to work. And what was the work? He actually gave him the command. If you look at verse 15, he says to him, take care of so there's an aspect of stewardship that God calls us to in working it out. He calls us to steward well the earth. Now, I wanted to break this down at this point. So we've talked about creation and how he's created us in his image. But a lot of the way that we approach creation is, or dare I say, the state of the world today as it relates to being made in his image. Because how many of you know we live in a society that has taken the image and perverted it? How many of you would agree, right? You know, whether it's looking at media, looking at movies, what's on the internet, all of this stuff that we're facing in culture. And by culture, what I'm talking about is, like Smokey Robinson once said, like if I'm going to give you a definition, Smokey Robinson, or for the newer generation, UB40. It's the culture is described as the way you do the things you do. Okay, that's my definition for culture. What you do instinctively, the way you do the things you do is culture. Okay, so the last series we talked about what flows out of the heart. But if you get a room of people and what flows out of the heart, that becomes culture. What I'm talking about here when I'm talking about creation is that if the hearts of men are fallen, culture therefore becomes perverted as well, because the way you do the things you do are your perspective begins to change. And thus, if you look at all of the initial ethnicities of the major ethnicities of the planet, and you trace them all the way back, they all have monotheistic roots, which means that they all came from a society that believed in one God. But what happened was that because of our fallen nature, the culture bred a religion that would either go pantheist, which means that everything is a god, or polytheist, which means anything can be a god, or atheist, which means I just given up on gods altogether. I don't believe in the existence of anything spiritual. And that's what happens, is you create this culture based on your philosophies. But what I'm here to tell you today is that as Christians, we have to have a right response to what's going on outside of the four walls of the church. See, a lot of the way that we respond is actually reactionary. And this is something that God wants us to consider. Andy Crouch, who wrote the book Culture Making, he describes the reactionary actions of the Christian church by describing it with four C's. Firstly, we condemn culture. Like we might see something, oh, I condemn that. That's totally wrong. I refuse to take part of it. Now, that may be right in some aspects, but I'm going to get to God's solution in just a moment. Secondly, we may not fully condemn it, but we may critique it. May try to break it down. I don't like that. I don't like that. You know, just picking at it. Thirdly, we'll copy it. We'll see a secular version of something and go, oh, you know what? Let's create a Christian version of that. I remember walking into a Christian bookstore in New Zealand one time, and they had a poster on the wall that said, oh, if you like Eminem, you'll like Christian rapper. If you like whoever the hot group was, I think it was like Boyzone, then you'll like this Christian version of Boyzone at the time. I'm dating myself now. I mean, it's so sad. I was just in Singapore. There was a concert there for a group called West Zone. I'm not kidding. It's one of the guys from Westlife and one of the guys from Boyzone. And I was just like, and of course they're performing in Singapore, so just, I was like, man, I'm dating myself. But like, you know, that's what we will end up doing. So we'll condemn it. We'll critique it, we'll copy it, or number four, we'll just consume it. And just totally, you know, I really don't mind what's showing, I'll just take it on board. What Andy Crouch says that we should do, if we're made in the image of God, and the image of God is as a creator, the response that we should have is actually to create culture. God has called us to make culture. God has called us to transform culture by making it. And so here's the whole point of this message here. If we're going back to the original intent, God wants to activate every single one of us in whatever sphere of influence to influence, to be the salt and the light of the earth. So if I'm a musician, I need to be cutting edge and reflective with the gospel in my heart to be able to do and create culture the way that God's called me to. God makes things beautiful. There is a reason why you can take an atheist to the Grand Canyon, stand them on the edge of a cliff, they'll still stand there and be in awe and wonder. Why? Like if it's just lucky mud forming these crevices in the ground, why do they respond in awe? There's something about the creation of the universe, the creation of the design, and how he has made us in his image. He wants to activate us to be able to create culture that will transform society. So if you're here and you're in education, for instance, God has not just called you to be a beacon of light in that culture, but he's called you to come up with creative ways to activate education in those young people that will turn the lights on both educationally, but especially spiritually, so that they come back to the original intent that God has for them. The reason why is because a lot of us, you know, we look at evolution and we go, oh, condemn evolution. I'm just going to bring my kids over here. What about actually creating the culture of teaching our kids about their design and creating an encouraging and an exciting environment for them to encounter their original purpose? Same thing for business. Don't just copy what God has already going and stick a fish sticker on it and put a 316 on the end of your logo or whatever Bible verse you came up with. God wants you to be the best. God wants you to be the best at the business that God... Look, I'm standing up here and we may be looking at this room going, okay, Pastor Natty, you don't even have a church booth. I want to be the best pastor I can possibly be to pastor the best congregation, that's you by the way, that we can possibly have to reach the city. I'm not interested in church transfers. If we're going to be the salt and the light, we need to shine bright like a diamond, like Rihanna said. But too many of us are like, I'm not sure that God's called me to do that. Look, Jesus said in Matthew that we were created to do even greater works. And John the Baptist, until that point, was the greatest of all the saints. It, right up until that point, according to Jesus Christ, he said, everybody in the Old Testament of these people in the past, John the Baptist is the greatest. But these things that you see me doing, he was talking to his disciples. These things that you see me doing, you will do even greater works. And some of you might be like, oh no, that's Jesus. But look, if we believe that Jesus is the Lord of our lives and we believe that the Holy Spirit lives within us, why can't we transform culture? Why can't we go about what God has called us to do and be the best at it? If God's called us to reach young people, like I know a lot of people in this room are involved in community service, don't just do what's good just for just now, just getting by. God wants us to think globally, okay? This is a new word. I need you to like chew on this word for the rest of your life. Glocal. Globally local. Like think on a global level as in terms of the standard that God has called you to, but make an impact right here. And so a couple of nods, there's like a little bit of slight excitement, but God has activating us to go back to our original intent. And so this is where we're going to sit for a little while in this series. Even some of us may think because of our ethnicity that we are somewhat subservient and not able to fulfill the great commission that God has for us to be great at what God's called us to be and do great things for him. So it's just enough. God hasn't called us to do just enough. The way God builds is he builds revelationally. He calls us to build on the greatest rock of our salvation. He calls us to walk relationally, calls us to walk with one another. Like I said, let us create man in our image. But then he calls us to think generationally, to think way beyond ourselves, to think whatever I'm building right now needs to outlast me. And I need you to understand this. This church does not revolve around my gift as the senior pastor, and it will not. Not on my watch. We're raising up a team and a generation of leaders, and we're always going to think generationally. The problem and the issue is that sometimes we build our own empires rather than building the kingdom of God. And God wants us to renew our thinking. How can you be the best in the world at what you do? what God has called you to. Because if the Almighty God has called me to it, why can't I be the best at it? I love what's said here by the German Christian philosopher, Hendrikus Burkhoff. He says here, he gives these parameters here from this passage with regards to how we should live, right? Firstly, the command to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth is a call to develop diversity. Develop diversity. God has called us to be a diverse church. And I'm not just talking about every nation, Brisbane. I'm talking about the body of Christ. He's called us to be diverse. That's the way he creates us. Secondly, he's called us to rule, to steward, to cultivate the earth as God's image to the world. And I'm going to land on that talk about image. To rule, to steward, to cultivate the earth as God's image. So he's called us to care for creation. So to care for those around us, to steward what God has given us, to steward the resources. The reason why we have issues with this planet, and I'm not the most conservationist, but I'm here to tell you today that the reason why there's a lot of issues of poverty in this world, there's more than enough resource on this planet to go around if you think about it. It's just that some people have become more greedier than others, and those who don't have, we'd be able to eliminate poverty. We'd be like the church, the body of Christ could eliminate poverty if the people of God just tithed. And then the church activated those finances to advance the kingdom of God towards those who didn't have. We'd be able to, the statistics show it clearly, we'd be able to take care of world poverty if we were activated to do it. But the proclivity of man because of the fall is towards greed, towards what can I get now, what can I get instantly. God has called us to care for creation. And then lastly, we're to live in right relationship with God and one another and the world. So we create cultures and societies. Write this down. God has called us to create culture and to cultivate culture. To provide somewhat of a greenhouse so that the culture is cultivated, that the culture of the kingdom of God is advanced in what God has called you to. Now I know this is a subdued room. It's rainy outside. And this is perfect weather to sleep. Maybe that's just coming out of the abundance of my heart. But I'm here to tell you today, amidst this subdued lighting, that God wants to activate you. That shouldn't be activated by bright lighting and loud music coming from the front. This is with the awkward silence of the Holy Spirit just speaking to us in this awkward middle space. And he meets us and he says, I want to activate you to create culture and to cultivate it, to allow it to grow and germinate in your heart so that you will transform society by your excellence to the glory of God, because that's how he's created you to be. Maybe for some of us, how we handle this, maybe for some of us, God is activating us today to stop dreaming and wake up. Like, don't stop the dream, but wake up from the dream and actually get activated in what God's called you to. Churches don't get planted unless people wake up. Businesses don't get started unless people wake up, start studying, start getting in right environments. Yeah, I want that silence to just simmer right here until it wakens us to start thinking, man, you know what? I was going to settle for this, whatever this is. God is activating me today to start walking out in this call to excellence, to create culture. If I'm going to go into government, I'm going to represent him well. If I'm going to go into the arts, I'm going to paint to the glory of God. I'm not just going to paint lions and doves and fire and globes. Sorry. But every church logo, including ours, has one of those sorts of things on them. I think that we can be a little more imaginative when it comes to Christian art. There is a reason why Christian films stay in Kurong or on ACC TV. I want to raise up a generation of filmmakers that actually challenge those who don't know Christ with excellent production, excellent screenwriting, excellent acting, but actually challenge us with the issues that really matter. Where are the films about the Christians going out and loving on the LGBTQ community? Where are the films about those who are, like, where are the Christian films like Lion? How many of you have seen Lion? That's a Christian movie without being Christian. Like, God's heart for the orphan.
God's heart for the broken. These are the issues that we deal with, not walking in some forest and seeing some random cross in the middle of it. Oh, I'll give my life to Jesus. Now, that's powerful for us. But the rest of the world is watching that going, what are these guys on? I'm here to tell you today, God wants to activate us to be excellent. And I, as your pastor, am committed to continue to grow in what God has called me to do, to teach the Word of God. I'm pursuing a master's degree at Wheaton College right now. That's why I was in Manila, because I want to be excellent in my service to you. It's taking time away from my family, taking time away from you to sharpen the sword that God has given me. And I want to ask you today, how can God activate you so that you're not just some dude that's just doing average things, but sticking a fish sticker or a cross on it just to make it redeemed? In fact, you know, statistics show that businesses with that sort of sign actually detract people and detract customers, because a lot of the service is actually subpar to that which is non-Christian. Don't show me your fish sticker. Show me your excellence. Show me how you create culture that activates people to see the kingdom of God in the way that you are generous, in the way that you start kingdom-minded gospel conversations with your customers without being weird. Are you with me today, church? I mean, I love you so much, but I'm seeing God activating a church that says, you know what? I'm not going to settle for where I've sat in this valley of average, or this valley of selfishness, but claiming Christianity just because I attend church for an hour and a half on a Sunday. No, God wants to activate his people. And that's what we were designed to do. You know, in the Gospels, we read about Jesus, and he's encountered by these disciples. And they're like, hey, so do we have to pay taxes? How many of you, if you confronted Jesus, would be like waiting to hear Jesus' answer to that? Please say no. Please say we don't have to. What does Jesus say? He says, check out the coin. Whose image is on it? Caesar. Okay, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Oh, hey. Oh, hey, bro. So he ends up giving, we have to pay taxes. But what was Jesus' whole point? The image on the coin is Caesar's. But what image is on you? What image is on your heart? What image is on you? Because if you're made in the image of God, and he's created you with that image, that imprint on your heart and mind, then we better reflect it with all our hearts. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to Jesus what belongs to Jesus. Give to God what belongs to him today. That's the challenge. There's no half-heartedness in this Christianity, and I'm sorry if you've been sold a false bag of goods, but there is no half-heartedness. The Bible is very clear that God spits out the lukewarm. God wants you to be hot for him. God wants you to be on fire for him in the sense that you change and transform the culture that you're in. You're a thermostat. You're not a thermometer. You don't just adapt to the temperature. You're the one that changes the temperature. Not with just morality without love being a noisy gong, but you transform it with the gospel of Jesus Christ that's transforming lives, that brings people back to the original intent that God has for them. That's what God has for us as a church.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.